This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
Feels great shooting hard in the pink pass. Go Cavs, go Cavs. Go Cavs, go Cavs. Go Cavs, go Cavs. Go Cavs, go Cavs. Ooh, go Cavs, go. Go Cavs, go.
All right, welcome back to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. I am Chris Clem at Chris_Clem on Twitter, and it is the All-Star break. The All-Star game's over, but we are still in the break. The Cavs do not play again until Friday night. So here is your Chris Clem Cavs Cast C4 podcast recap of the All-Star game. All right, the All-Star game was Sunday night, but as you know, there's always a bunch of other stuff going on during the NBA All-Star weekend. And unlike what was previously announced, there was actually four Cavs players competing in events at All-Star weekend. Obviously, as you know, LeBron and Kyrie Irving were playing in the All-Star game itself. And as I said last episode, the main man, Cavaliers fans love to hate, Matthew Dellavedova. Played in the rookie sophomore game, and he actually played a lot, and he didn't do that bad. He even made one of his trademark floaters, but there was no Fred McLeod to say something corny about it. It was a good game to watch. I enjoyed it. They had really sweet uniforms on. They had like the New York skyline on the world ones, but the only Cavs player you could get with it would be Matthew Dellavedova, and I'm not going to wear a Matthew Dellavedova jersey. I'm not a Matthew Dellavedova hater, but why would anybody wear the jersey of a backup point guard, let alone, he's like the ninth man in the rotation, okay? I don't see Brendan Haywood's corpse getting jerseys. And the only other jersey I might get is Timofey Mozgov, but more about that later. He played great for what he did. It was fine. And then the next night, everybody thought, for Cavs fans, all we could really look forward to is Kyrie Irving in the three-point shootout. But it turns out that there was another Cavalier making a huge appearance, and that man was J.R. Smith in the first ever NBA All-Star Fashion Competition. That's right, Fashion Competition. And TNT put their main broadcast guys of Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith on this, which means they were hoping for this to be a big deal. And it was. J.R. Smith won with like a green suit with a gigantic fur on his neck, doing his best 70s pimp impression, but more with the athletic cut, slim cut shirts, suits that they wear now, not like the big stuff. I worked at Macy's. I had some shifts in the men's department. I kind of know what's up when it comes to dress wear, believe it or not. So after it was over, they had like a commentator on stage with them, and they were asking them everything they thought about the event. And J.R. Smith was wearing like his fifth outfit of the night. And there was these models on stage with them. And he was next to this blonde chick in a red dress. They asked him like, hey man, what did you think of all this? Did you like the event? And he just spits game right on her. And he says,
I like her.
That's right, J.R. Smith.
I like her.
So that was really funny. I'm glad he was back in New York so he could get drunk and hungover without having to worry about playing the next day. The guy is fast becoming one of my favorite Cavs players after I was super worried about the trade when it first happened. But just think, not only do the Cavs have the best player in the NBA, they also have the best dressed player in the NBA. They have the best white player, the best black player, best player born in Australia in Kyrie Irving, and now they have the best dressed player in J.R. Smith. They probably have the best Russian too, because Andrei Kirilenko's fallen apart, and I think Mozgov has taken that step. There's a few things I noticed in the All-Star game. All-Star Saturday night was really entertaining, actually, but there was so much stupid stuff happening. They had this weird play-by-play that was piped over the whole arena during the three-point contest, which was a terrible idea. NBA, please do not take lessons from Indie Scum Wrestling Promotions. You are a high-class organization, one of the top three sports in the United States. Stop it, okay? Stop it. While they were doing this, they had the commentary was by Kenny Smith and I think Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller. And Kenny Smith was saying some of the dumbest stuff about these guys. When Kyrie Irving came out there, he was like, oh man, this guy's great. This guy is a shooter. He is the shooter when the lights come on. To which Devin A. Connor on Twitter said, Kyrie Irving's weakness is fewer lights. When you think about it, that is one of the dumbest things you could say. Of course, anybody's weakness is fewer lights. I want to see somebody win a three-point contest Cedric Sabalo style and wear a blindfold over their eyes. And then you could say that maybe he doesn't shoot better when the lights come on because clearly he could shoot in the dark. These guys aren't blind. They're not light-sensitive bats. They're basketball players used to playing in arenas with lights. That is probably the worst commentary that I've heard for any sporting event. That's just saying something to say something. You're just filling up the air with your nonsense. And that kind of distracted me, took it away. You know, the players do not need to hear what they're saying and hear Kenny Smith going, uh-oh, he's not going to, oh, he's doing bad when they're in the middle. Okay, they just missed 5 3-pointers in a row. I think they figured out that they're probably not going to go advance through the next round. They don't need the PA system reminding them of that. The dunk contest was sweet, though. Zach LaVine is probably the most athletic Jew I've seen in my life. Props to him. That was crazy. He was flying all over the place, and I really enjoyed it. People think LeBron should be in the dunk contest. That makes no sense to me. The dude is older than I am. He's a great dunker in games, but he's got nothing to win and everything to lose by appearing in the dunk contest. And he's super tall. People forget he's not some 6'2 guy. The dude's 6'10, basically. And that already makes it harder to do anything spectacular in the dunk contest. Here's my advice, although he didn't ask for it. Don't do it. Before I get to All-Star Game, they interviewed Anthony Davis during the All-Star Game. You know, he's probably having the best season of anybody in the NBA right now, but the guy is disconcerting being on television. I don't like it. It's a bad idea. Listeners, you might not remember the episode of South Park where Dr. Mephisto makes a clone of Stan, which is malformed and mutant-sized, and goes on a rampage and destroys all of South Park. But Anthony Davis looks like the mutant clone of Russell Westbrook, like somebody just pumped his head with steroids, stretched it out, and made his whole body lopsided and wrong. And every time they ask him a question on TV, he's like, oh yeah, that's good, and I think I just want to play better. But that's not what I expect to hear. I think when they're going to put a microphone in his mouth, they'll be like, so Anthony, how do you feel about the way this season's going? And he'll just respond, I'm just saying, when the guy's unibrow is the most attractive feature, I'm not a woman or a handsome man, male model judge of that, but dude looks like a science experiment gone wrong. He's very talented, though. This is just a general observation from this weekend, but so many NBA players have really, really shitty tattoos. You guys are making some serious money. Stop throwing your friends tattoos. You only have so much real estate on your body. Just because this guy's your boy doesn't mean he does a good job. I've never seen so many millionaires with such horrible garage jail tattoos. My cousin has his last name on his back lopsided that he got done in his living room, and it still looks better than the majority of NBA tattoos. These guys can afford some real tattoos. They should be sporting works of art on their body, not something that looks like it was done with a bleeding Sharpie and a sharpened paperclip. On to the All-Star Game. The game started out with Christina Aguilera showing off her assets in what is probably the sexiest performance in an All-Star Game since Mariah Carey wore a skin-tight Michael Jordan Wizards jersey back in 2003 or 2 or whatever year it was. She was hot. Christina Aguilera had her shirt so low cut. She was wearing a suit and her cleavage was gigantic. So clearly she's embracing her newfound assets. We're like 3 years away from Christina Aguilera being frizzy blonde hair and a giant set of tits. And I look forward to that day. I might actually watch The Voice when that comes on. Not trying to be sexist. We can all say she's got a very great pair of breasts. She brought out Nas, which was great because he's from New York. But, you know, somebody else from the New York metro area who's performed a song with her that's already been a hit should have been out there. And that man is none other than New Jersey's own Redman. Imagine that. They could have reenacted the Dirty video, only this time she'd have her newfound super MILF body. I would actually have paid to watch that. I am a gigantic fan of thick women. Speaking of fans of thick women, why was Bill Clinton sitting courtside with Dikembe Mutombo? That dude is so pissed that the nation actually got a real black president, that he lost his title as the first unofficial black president, that he is going overboard to get it back. He is sitting courtside at the NBA All-Star game, and I'm pretty sure that he Amber Rose over the weekend.
Bill Clinton sitting next to me. We kicked it, talked, had a couple of laughs. The students walked up, asked us for our autographs. I thought I was mad, and I gave her two free shirts. Bill stuck five fingers up in the skirt. So I stuck five, and that made ten. Two roosters and only one hen. Billy winked at me. It was all too sweet. We tag-teamed that freak at 30,000 feet.
That's it. LeBron played pretty good in the All-Star game. So did Kyrie Irving. The East lost like it matters. Okay, the Cavs don't play again until Friday, but there will be a podcast out before then. Friday morning, I will be giving my 1998 NBA All-Star Game recap. Trust me, it's better than it sounds. There's a lot of interesting things that happened in this game, which was the last game before this to be in Madison Square Garden. And this Thursday is the trading deadline, so if the Cavs make any trades or get rid of Brendan Haywood's body and contract and get something in return, I guess that is the definition of a trade, I will probably chime in on that. I like to announce right now, I have a very special guest I'm lining up to interview. I'm trying to get Timofey Mozgov on the show, and I haven't been able to work that out, but I have got a line in with a Russian reporter who covered him in his younger years, and I'm really excited about it. I can't say for sure. Hopefully by Friday, I'll have the details confirmed. You can look forward to that next week. Lastly, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's listening and has shared it on Facebook and has subscribed, because I have already gotten in the triple digits of subscribers and I was not expecting that soon. And I've gotten a ton of positive feedback. So thank you, everybody who's texted me or sent me a message. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to keep trying to give you this weird Cavs podcast where I say mean things about basketball players. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Give me a call. The phone number is on the thing. I had a phone call last week. I was hoping to have some more by now. And send me an email at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. And if you guys could subscribe on iTunes and rate and review, I really want to get the word out here on this. You're never going to have to listen to more than 20 minutes in one episode. And I think that's how podcasts should be. Thanks for listening. This Friday, the 1998 NBA All-Star Game recap. Thanks. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.